Matthew 25, there's only one verse I really want to bring out. And this is the parable where Jesus is talking. It's after the parable of the 10 virgins. And he calls these servants together. This is another parable. And to one he gives 5 talents, and 2 to another, and 1 to another. And then the guy goes off and he comes back. And he calls them forward. I wish they... Talent is the name of the coin that was given them. I wish that the King James would have picked like a denarii or a drachma or a dollar or a pound or any other word, because people always associate this with a talent of playing piano or of singing or of looking cute.
Oh, that's you.
Oh, thank you. I was waiting. It's going to have a long wait. That's what people think just because of the word. You don't have to laugh that much. You were led by God, right?
Yes. Yeah,
had to be. But, you know, it's just a coin. He gave him some money is all it amounts to. He gave him some money. And verse 29 is the one. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And then he tells him, throw the unprofitable servant out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Because he brought them all in, said, what'd you do? 5 said, I multiplied it by 5. 2 said, I multiplied it by 2, or added 2 to it. And the one said, hey, I know you're a hard-nosed guy, and I buried it, and you've got yours back. And then ungrateful servant and all that goes on. A lot of people will try to take this kind of out of context is the way they're doing it, and it makes people mad if you're of that particular group. He who has, it doesn't really define what it is that they have. So these people, those people, it sounds bad, and if they'd use a different verse or a different way of approaching it, I wouldn't argue so much with them. But they think that it's anything you've got, if you've got it, cars, wealth, good looks, anything you've got, if you've got it, and you trust God, then He will multiply it and you will get better looking. You know, I mean, richer or more cars or whatever it is you've got. Because it doesn't define what it is. He that has, more shall be given. The hazers, the people that has, he who has, the hazers, a lot of people try to say it's just the stuff. But in the context, it is what was given to those people. They that have, more shall be given. Something was given to them, and therefore they had it. And those who had and multiplied it would have more stuff given to them. But it was the unworthy servant who didn't increase what he had. I know this is just all old hat, but he that didn't increase it is the one who ended up lacking. And so the question would be, what was it that the unworthy servant lacked? One, he lacked a real understanding of the master. He said that he was a hard, which in Hebrew means a rough, harsh, uncivil, inhuman, demanding master. I would look at it now and say, well, that whole thing is a reflection of their understanding of the Old Testament and how they viewed God. He also lacked confidence in the master's judging aright on what to give these people. It's like, yeah, you know, the guy gave 5, he gave 2, and he gave me 1. And he didn't realize that the master actually had confidence that these people could increase what was given to them. And then he lacked confidence in himself. And he lived in fear of failing. Because of his fear of the master, he lacked confidence that the master was doing something beneficial to him. He thought he was harsh and being mean, and he lacked confidence within himself to go out and do what he should be doing. So he had this fear of failure. This same phrase, he who has, more shall be given, is basically used also in a slight variation, but it's in Matthew 13:12, and I was reading John Gill's commentary on it, and he says that he who has realizes that God has given an opportunity of faith, and it's their opportunity to show faith in God's grace. He who has, more shall be given. he who has the grace of God, and the only way you can get it is, okay, grace is out there for anybody that wants it. But the person who has the grace is the one who says, God is good to me. Therefore, I believe in God's grace. And when we trust in it, we have the grace of God. And because of that trust in God's goodness toward us, because while we were yet sinners, He loved us. He loved the world and all that kind of stuff. You know, before we really had knowledge of Him, He already was thinking of us and was preparing the sacrifice, or had become the sacrifice, or in our day and age, the sacrifice was already made. But that grace that's there to everybody, we have it, and it's a saving knowledge of Christ. And once we have it, and this is where a lot of people stumble, is they have the saving knowledge, but they don't receive that they're going to get more favor. They say, by the grace of God, I'm saved. But then they go back to looking at God like the Old Testament. He's a mean, hard God. And they are afraid that they're going to fail. And therefore, they start shrinking back instead of going forward. And He is telling us, those people who have that grace and have accepted that grace are increasing in that more and more, because He shall increase. He that has more shall be given. He shall increase. And so a person who realizes the grace of God is toward them will receive more knowledge of Christ. And this just isn't, and a lot of people think this is all it is a head knowledge of they know more details about Him. But that's not the kind of knowledge. They have a relationship with Him, and that relationship will increase because they realize they are receiving more grace. They will increase, and they have a personal relationship. Therefore, they trust in the Holy Spirit to actually lead them, and He will lead them into all truth. Now, it's not just spiritual truth or in truth of how to live your life, but also into all truth, A-L-L, and truth. That's how George Washington Carver got into the peanuts so much, and that he came out with all these different uses for the peanuts. And if you read about that, it's amazing, because he said he'd locked himself in for a whole week and he was not in that research laboratory by himself, that God was there with him is what he's getting at. And he came up with all these different uses for peanuts besides just peanut butter, which is my favorite. But we would also, if we have it and we know we've got it and we understand what the Master's like, we understand that He's not a harsh man, because even under the Mosaic system, He realized they couldn't make it, so He gave them the sacrificial system so that they could abound and they could have a relationship. And He said the only way to have it, He demonstrated, is there's got to be this blood sacrifice, has got to be paid, but when it is, I have grace and favor toward the sinner. So we should be abounding and gathering, having more grace or favor upon us. We should have a more enlightened life. It should be increasing. We should be having more knowledge, not just head knowledge. And we should be having more experiences of grace. All grace and favor is abounding toward us and is increasing toward us until that perfect day, which just means that once we're a Christian, we should be experiencing that kind of a walk, and it should be getting better and better and more expansive as time goes on. But he who lacks, what he has will be taken away. Everybody has the opportunity of experiencing the grace of God. Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, we all have, and the unsaved, it's out there. The grace of God is shed abroad, and some of them went to the temple and did their stuff in the Old Testament. Some people come to churches and are very active within the church itself, opening hymnals, dusting, whatever it is they do, singing, pick a slot, and they might teach Sunday school or might even be a preacher. But they actually lack true grace. There is no faith in the favor of God. They think they have to do something to perform so that God will be good to them, rather than in accepting the fact that God is good to us. Because they lack grace, they lack a relationship or knowledge of Christ, nor do they experience the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And what little was given to them will be taken away. I guess what I'm saying is this: the talent that is given to us, is not our good looks or our ability to play piano. Our talent that is actually given is an entrusted responsibility to us. He will give us the means of carrying out that responsibility. But the entrusting was, he gave him the talents to increase it. So the emphasis is on the increasing of it, not just on the giving of the talent. The responsibility was on increasing it, and that's why he was so disappointed. And the guy that only got one talent is there was no increase. He even suggested that he do something that was illegal to Jews. Why didn't you loan the money out? A Jew is not supposed to lend another Jewish person money with the idea of that they have to pay it back in interest. They should be willing to loan him the money and just get the money back, because that's what family is supposed to do with each other. He said, if you think I'm so harsh, then why didn't you treat me with the respect that you would of a harsh person, and went out there and took my money and invested it in interest-paying dividends or being a loan shark or something and get an increase that way, but you didn't even do that. You make a claim that you fear me, and yet you don't fear me enough to do what you were supposed to do. So it's the responsibility that's given that's the main emphasis. The servant knew that there was a day coming when that guy was going to come back and ask for the increase. Here we are. We know that the day is coming that he's going to come back. And in light of that, we should ask ourselves, have we invested? Have we increased? The real responsibility he gave to us, you know, you experience your salvation by grace. The responsibility he really entrusted to us was one of increase also. He said, go forth and make disciples. The question I'm going to ask is, we are here at this point, but starting today, when he shows up, if we just start today as our baseline, will Glenwood have an increase in disciples? Not just an increase in attendance. We had great attendance Sunday. And you know, and there was a bunch of people missing, and still we had good attendance. While I'm thrilled about that, wow, but that's not what we were supposed to have. We're supposed to have an increase of disciples, and I realize attendance is the beginning of building disciples. I'm not ripping us on that. That is the real question, is when he shows up, he's going to say, were you fully invested, and did you have an increase? I mean, I think he'd be proud of us if we were fully invested and we didn't see an increase. At least we were out there trying. But if we're invested and we're having an increase, we should expect that there will be an increase because of his grace toward us. He loves us. He cares about us. He is a smart person who gives responsibility according to that which the person is able to handle. One got five, one got two, one got one. That guy should have been able to handle the one. Whenever it's all over with, he says, take away from that guy and give him to the, you know, give the responsibility over to the guy with five. Because by the time this guy got done doubling his count, he had enough experience that he could take more than just five and turn it to 10. He now could take 11 and double it to 22. And the guy that had two had four, he could double his up too. So there was an increase of responsibility and yet an increase of blessing and recognition. Will Glenwood have an increase in disciples? Are we invested? Are we increased? Will we be increased? Or at this point, do we lack confidence that the Master has chosen properly for us? Do we lack that confidence in him judging right? Did he just put Glenwood Church here on this corner just so that Glenwood Church could have Sunday go-to meeting and good food and fellowship? Was that what he put us here for to do? Do we lack confidence in ourselves and say, well, I really can't do that kind of stuff? You know, do we not understand his grace and love toward us? Is that what's holding us back? Because those are the things that the guy lacked. I guess what I'm saying is, we have no reason to lack his goodness toward him. We have no reason to lack his judgment to give us that kind of responsibility. Therefore, we should not lack self-confidence. Glenwood was put on this corner for for a specific purpose, and that was to increase. Not to set still, but we can do it. We can increase by the grace of God. It might be a stumbling, a growth pattern like this with ups and downs, but there should be a continual upswing in what Glenwood's doing, has done. And yeah, we can take in the missionaries we sponsor, but there's no reason why we can't do more than just invest materially in other people, which is good, which is positive. I'm not saying back down on that, but I think he put us more than we can just throw money into a till. I think he put Glenwood here because he thinks we actually can increase in number, in disciples, right here on this corner, in this town, at this day and age. Like the guy Mordecai said to Queen Esther, I think he was put in this position at this time, because of what you can do. And I think Glenwood Church, we as the church, are put here. But like Abraham, you can't say it's something. You've got to come to the place where you say it's not me, it's God doing it. God says, Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations, and yet he doesn't get blessed until he gets to the point where he realizes, I can't do this, God. I'm an old man. My wife is an old woman. We can't make a baby. And at that point, God says, now that you know that you can't make the baby, you're going to have the baby. But he said that in Romans, he's talking, he says, he believed hope against hope. You have a hope, you're going to have a kid. And yet he knows that he's not, because he's too old, she's too old. And yet because he knows whom he has believed, and he's persuaded that God is able to perform what he has promised. And so his faith went from, I'm going to have a son, to God's going to give me the son. Not, I hope God gives me a son, but God is going to give me the son. And that's what faith is when something that you can't see, but you know it to be a fact because of the person who promised. Faith is placing a reliance on a person or a thing to do what it's supposed to do, to perform what he promises or perform what it's built to do. Like a bridge is to get you across the river. You put your faith in that bridge and you drive across the river. God says, I'm going to make you a promise, and we've got to believe that promise. He gave us responsibility, then we've got to believe that he has given us the ability to increase in discipleship. In disciples. That's the word. In disciples. I think that God really doesn't want us to let up or let down on the idea and say, we're having more people show up. I think he wants us to go farther and say, yes, people are showing up, but God, make disciples. Cause us to make disciples. Teach us. Give us the knowledge and the relationship with Jesus to go beyond ourselves, but go into those places where we've never tried before, or to be uncomfortable and reach out and do different things that we haven't done before. God, give us the ability to see, to be led by your Holy Spirit, and we're trusting you to get us to the place where we can grow by your grace. I know a guy built a church, but he went off to a seminar where they said, this is the things you need to do to build a church. And he came back and implemented everything they did and built a church. But the question always is to the people that was standing on the outside of the church going, have they lost their relationship to God? Because now it's all show and flash and glitter. Are people actually getting saved, ministered to, and becoming disciples? Or is it just numerous people are showing up to watch the show that goes on every Sunday? I don't know. I just know that our responsibility is to grow this church.